Everybody ready? Come on, let's go. The Rick Flair Show! Let's go! The Rick Flair Show! Let's go! Hey, what's up? Welcome to the Rick Thorne Show. On this episode, I got Tali Osborne, aka Nubs. She's an amazing human. She's the ambassador at the Punk Rock Museum. She's a musician and she's an all-around rad person. I'm going to call her right now. Let's do this.
Holy cow. Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
All right, just making sure because anything's possible right now. You know
it's
what I mean?
True. It's true. Like,
look, I got my own little museum wall.
I know. I love that wall. Mine's just pink, but I have some art that I'm going to put on these little walls. It's like I'm sitting on the floor right now, so it's going to be like a little mini tally, like backdrop, you know?
That's cool. It reminds me, you know, there's that pink wall in Hollywood everyone shoots a photo of. You know what I'm talking?
No.
It's on Melrose. It's a store.
And there's okay.
Yeah, it was just a pink wall. Everyone always shooting a photo in front
like,
of it.
Look at my outlet. Like, that's where I'm sitting on the floor, you know? And it's funny because, like, I have these lights above me. Hold on. You know? And
oh,
then,
cool.
But, like, when if you're in this room and you see me, it's just funny because it's, like, this little mini tally-sized office. It's cute.
Awesome. Perfect.
Yeah.
That's cool.
We're so here.
What's new with you? You do everything. What's going on?
Oh my God. I'm so tired, Rick. Do I look tired? Oh God, the bags. I like had to do some under eye concealer shit. I've just been like, going.
Right.
It's all amazing things, but it's like a lot, you know?
It is a lot. It's a whole lot. Well, we'll get into it right now. Well, first off, I didn't know this. You're from Canada.
You didn't know that? Yeah.
No, not like it's a weird thing or anything. I just didn't know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe someone from Canada. Oh, you're from Canada. I got friends
from
that,
Canada.
Yeah. Where in Canada?
Toronto.
Oh, Toronto?
Yeah.
Toronto's cool. Do you ever go back there?
I've been back once. I've only been here almost 7 months. Oh, we're in the seventh month now.
Wait. So you fully live. Okay. See, this is what podcasts are for. Get to know somebody.
Oh, do you think I was? Yeah, no, I moved here.
I just don't hear the accent as much.
Good.
I don't hear a strong, like, you know, Canadian accent.
That. I'm like, they say that I have an accent. I'm like, no, I do not. So I moved here to work for the Punk Rock Museum, and I just moved here in October.
Wow. And how's the museum? We're going to get into that, but it's going off, isn't it?
It's great. Yeah, you're going to love it.
So are you enjoying living here though?
Yeah, it's great. It's like full on summer here right now. I went to a pool party on the weekend for Viva Las Vegas. It's like
Vegas is cool. Vegas is like turning around, huh? Not turning around, but there's a lot of cool things happening there all of a sudden. I mean, there always was, but I'm just saying in our worlds, you know, like punk rock bowling and all these music festivals. I mean, I guess there always was, but lately it's just like Vegas.
I think there's more. Like this weekend was overwhelming for me because it was too much. I couldn't do all the things, you know, that's why I'm tired because I tried to do all the things.
And so the Punk Rock Museum, and anyone out there, it's new and it's awesome. And it's a museum, obviously, about punk rock. I'm going to start talking to you about that. First off, who started it?
So the museum's like is a baby, birth child of Fat Mike and Lisa Brownlee from Warped Tour.
Mm-hmm.
It was their conception. Like they thought of the idea, and then they basically reached out to different people all over the world, and obviously North America, and put together like a collective. And we all, you know, basically contributed what the skills we have, you know, we all contributed different things in order to open up this museum. And none of us have ever opened a museum before. We're all just punks. So it's a museum for the punks by the punks.
I like that, for the punks by the punks kind of
thing. For the punks by the punks.
Yeah. And well, I mean, well, you're making it sound like it's a lot more simpler than it really is. You put a
it's
lot.
It's not simple. It's
not simple. I mean, how do you start something like that? You just say, okay, we got like a few, I mean, obviously you got to reach out to.
Yeah. I think like
bands.
Lisa and Mike and different people in the collective reached out to either bands, of course, like I reached out to bands. And then there's different collectors. A lot of our stuff came from actual punk collectors, people that just had, you know, like you mentioned earlier, their own mini museum at home.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about our museum is we didn't pay for anything. Everyone donated or lent it to us.
Well, that's kind of how it should be. I mean,
all the contributors are all part of the collective, you know, and everyone has shares. We all have shares to the museum, and, you know, it's kind of all of our museum, which is really cool.
Yeah. I actually have a couple shares of it.
I figured. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Fat Mike is such an awesome dude. You know, our relationship, we've known each other for a very, very long time, you know, through the Warped Tours and stuff like that. But the museum is like, it seems like people, like when you hold on, like being a pro biker and being riding and all this stuff that I have all these years, you have it. And then one day you wake up and you're like, cool. But it's not like you have a box of stuff and you open it up and they go, oh, remember this? And like, you're not, you know what I mean? It's weird. So I think the museum's a great place for like all the bands that have stuff that were like, they don't want to sell it. It's a place where they could showcase it and so people could see it again.
Yes. And it's safe and it's being, you're right, showcased. It's not just in their basement or in a closet in their house. Like,
yeah. But my buddy has a museum out here in the Valley and it's called Valley Relics Museum. And it's everything. If you're ever out this way, you should check it out. It's everything about the Valley. Like all the old signs, all the old businesses, all the old bikes, all this stuff. And he was a big BMXer back in the day. So he's got this, you know, exhibits. And I donated a lot of stuff there because it's like, I'm going to just look at this thing. He's going to make it a display of it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I know like that it has a place to go and it's still alive and it's not in a box, you know?
Yeah,
so,
yeah, for sure.
So what was it like? So do you remember, so let's say obviously Fat Mike and, you know, everybody's just been open arms to just say, okay, we're going to contribute, we contribute. Or because I see you guys post stuff like, if you're in a band, send us your stuff. So are you putting anybody's stuff in there?
Well, it is a very inclusive museum. We want everyone to be showcased. You know, it's not like, oh, you're not punk enough. There's some bands we have that people are like, that's not punk. But to me, punk is literally about not fitting inside a box. Who are we to say you're not punk? You know?
Yeah.
So we're not putting everyone's stuff, of course, but it's a curated museum. We want it to feel professional and wonderful. And it is. But we have a artifact submission form and anyone can submit what they think, you know, they have to maybe go into the museum and we'll let them know either yes or no, or we'll like, we have still a storage space full of artifacts that we can't fit right now, but it is a revolving museum and some artifacts will go out, new artifacts will come in. So every time you visit, there might be new stuff. Yeah, like some, you know, when people have lent us stuff, there's different contracts. You know, some people have lent it to us for a year. Some people have lent it to us for 5 years. So it depends on how soon they want it back.
Right.
But also we have a jam room that's filled with instruments you can play. And those are not on loan. Those are donated. So those we always will have. We have a Joan Jett guitar, Tim Armstrong pink guitar that I rub my boobs on. I rub my boobs on every day because it's just so beautiful. Obviously Fat Mike. We have a Me First and Gimme Gimme. You know those sparkly ones that were custom made for the Me First? I think they're called the Dixie. I forget what they're called. Yeah, we got lots of instruments. And the cool thing is you can come in, you can play those instruments. And depending on who's at the museum, because there's always somebody rad at the museum. Like you walk through and you're just like, what? Like literally Monkey from the other day, a week ago or whatever, Monkey from the Attics is doing a tour. And he's walking through this room. And as he's walking his tour through, he sees me, Fat Mike, and Tony Hawk. And his tour is just like, what? You know what I mean? Like, because you never know who you're going to run into and what's going to happen at the museum. Like there's always some really cool, you know, legendary people at the museum.
Absolutely. And has that been happening a lot? Like people show up that like are known and they just want to check out the museum that aren't necessarily there to be a tour guide?
Yeah. Like if there's people in town, you know, like our opening day, Flea showed up because Red Hot Chili Peppers were playing here. We didn't have him scheduled. He just came.
Wow.
You know, and I was like, you know, of course it was opening day, so everyone's running around like crazy. And I was like walking through, my phone's ringing. I was walking through the museum like fast. And you know, when you're like, and then I did one of these like, oh, because I'm really short. I like was just like, oh, hey. And it was Flea. And my brain didn't register who it was instantly. I was just like, I know that guy. And then as I passed him, I was like, oh my God, that's Flea, you know? So, and Iggy Pop was supposed to come on the weekend, but they just, their flights got delayed and they were just super busy. And he's, you know, I'm sure he's tired. You know, he's not a spring chicken and he rocks still. So
he's
that, like, I kept picturing Iggy Pop at our museum with no shirt on. Cause as you do, if you're Iggy Pop, and like, my stomach gets butterflies every time. Like, it didn't happen, unfortunately, but it was supposed to happen. And yeah, Joan Jett was supposed to come in, but again, she was here playing a show and it just got too busy. And oh, that would have been amazing too. So yeah. I'm sure she'll come in. We have a bunch of Joan Jett stuff. We have her jacket, shirt, and shoes, and one of her guitars also you can play.
Wow. Wow. The jam room is awesome.
The jam room is amazing. Cool. And like, you know, tour guides, I encourage them to go in there and play for their tours or play with them, you know?
Yeah.
And like, literally, Intruder Blue, like, all the tour guides pick up a guitar or pick up a bass or whatever instrument they play and play for their tours. And Monkey, when I told Monkey that, he's like, I don't play. I'm like, I know, but you can sing. And then he got his, like, a couple kids in his tour to play and he sang along. Like, how special is that?
That's super rad. And so the tours have been going awesome. Like, people are stoked on it. They have to be.
They're so special. And like, they're supposed to be around an hour. And these tour guides are telling so many epic stories and making it so special that sometimes they're like 2 hours long. Like, and they're just everyone, like, I'll say like, oh, hey, how was Eugene's tour? How was Monkey's tour? How was Smelly's tour? And everyone's just like, oh my God, that was amazing. You know, like, they're just in awe because they've hung out with this person they've only really seen on stage, like within millimeters, you know, within centimeters of each other. And they're telling stories, they're taking photos, they're hugging, and they're like jamming out in the jam room. Like, it's really cool.
And I bet you Smelly's had to be pretty awesome. Because he's got such a big personality.
Smelly killed it. His were the first ones that were like 2 hours long. I'd be like, Smelly, you have another one, 10 minutes. He's like, what? Like, he hadn't even eaten yet. And he just finished one. And Smelly's like really vulnerable and really honest in his, you know, he talks about punk rock saving his life and then almost killing him. And then saving his life again, you know? So Smelly's were amazing.
Yeah, he's awesome. And so with the tour guides, it's the way you guys do is you rotate different people every day, or is it multiple people each day? Well, or
because everyone's flying in, most people are flying in from out of town, I book them for like 3 to 4 days each. And we usually have two people per 3 to 4 days. Sometimes they overlap, you know, like Monkey overlapped onto the next person. But like this weekend, we have Lou Collar from Sick of It All and Casey Royer from Social D and Adolescence. They both awesome. start today, not this weekend. They supposed to start today.
Right.
And Monday. So they're here for like, I think 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday kind of thing. And then we have more people coming.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Hey, you got me doing a few dates out there.
Yeah, of course. It's going to be great.
I'm excited. Just hearing you talk. I mean, I have not been to the museum yet and I can't wait to see it. I'm only going off of photos and videos and stuff I see, but I'm super excited, you know, like I can't wait to see what's in, you know, see what's in there. You know, I see some photos and that, you know, but I just haven't had, I haven't been there yet. So I'm excited. Yeah. So do you guys think that, with it being like, you know, say Punk Rock Bowling's right there, a lot of people are going to be coming over there.
Yeah. Like that week, I think a lot of people are going to be coming early for Punk Rock Bowling. Right.
Right.
So I think that week's going to be pretty busy.
Super busy. And has it been busy? Like, cause you just opened a month now.
Yeah. It's been solid. Like even weekdays, there's always people going through. The weekends are slammed. Like this past weekend, we have two photo exhibits, temporary photo exhibits in the museum too. One from Ricky Arcoli and one from Angela Boatwright.
Yep.
And Ricky Arcoli's is like in the beginning, like all these epic photos of people that I will never meet, you know, like from like the 70s and 80s, like just so epic. Debbie Harry, I might meet. But yes, just a lot of people have passed away or, you know, but just like old, beautiful photos. And then the other one, Angela Boatwright, she photographed the East LA scene, punk scene, like the backyard shows that turn into, sometimes they get raided and things like that.
Right.
You showcase these kids and some of them aren't with us anymore. Like they're young kids, you know, and they came. So we had this opening on Friday, like kind of like a art opening, you know, like a photo exhibit. And both of them talked about their photos and the museum was slammed. Like it was so cool, like late at night. And it's just like, it's just such a cool vibe. Like everyone who comes through there is like, wow, it's way more amazing than I expected. Like I expected a lot, but it's more amazing. That's the one thing a lot of people are saying, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I look at it like too, like people that, you know, there's different generations of punkers and, you know, it just depends on when you were born and what people are listening to. I think it also could serve as a good, like, kind of educational for kids to be like, you know, they know these certain bands and they'll be like, I never heard of like this band. And like, and then they're seeing it and they get more, cause, you know, back in the old days, you know, punk rock, you wouldn't go down a rabbit hole, but you would be like looking at every album sleeve and this dude's in this band. You'd be reading the lyric sheets.
Totally.
You know, like, and then you get, oh, and then you learn that guy was in this band and that is, and then they formed a band and then, oh, and then you get into that. And so it could be something to where like real informative for people to be like the roots of something and to expand their musical, you know, their music that they listen to.
Be like, I am learning, you know? Like I am part of the collective and I'm giving tours and I learn, like, so I'm giving tours to the tour guides, right? So the tour guides can give tours to their fans. And a lot of these tour guides have been around longer than me, right? They've experienced a scene that I didn't experience or bands that I didn't experience because, you know, the Ramones, like I haven't seen the Ramones, you know, Joe Strummer, like there's a lot of bands, the Germs, I didn't see the Germs. Like there's a lot of bands that I didn't get to see and I'm giving them tours and they're learning from me and I'm learning from them just because they're like, oh, that show, I was there, this crazy thing happened, or that band, do you know this guy from this band is in that band, you know, just, and I'm like, what? And it's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's
history. And I think like punk rock, like I mentioned, it's literally about not being inside a box. So it's just such a spectrum of different genres of punk, and like our museum is basically, it's chronological and geographical, so it's just like everyone's going to learn. Doesn't matter what time of you know, the five decades we have, doesn't matter how, what time you entered, you're going to learn, because
right.
the older punks are learning about some of the new stuff and the newer punks are learning about some of the old stuff or just stories we've never heard. Even doesn't matter about your age. There's things out there. That's the beauty of the tour guides, is they're telling stories that are just in here that maybe no one's heard before.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, punk back in the day was like, you had Black Flag on West Coast. You have Minor Threat on the East Coast. You had like, and then you would have like, everything in between, and then, you know, the Misfits and their Stees and everybody, but everybody was punk. So it was more, it was kind of more, there wasn't any standards. I don't know to say there's standards now to it, but you know, everybody just did their thing. And
that's
and
what
worked.
I mean. You just, you do know? Your thing. And
yeah,
it's punk is more about like, it's the ethos to me.
Yeah.
It's just like doing whatever the fuck you want. And it feels authentic to you. And it doesn't matter what other people think, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And it's not the like this formula of like what you need to do to be punk, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd always say my buddy's dad, right? He was like 80 and he would shovel the whole driveway. I'm from Missouri, the snow. And I'd be like, that dude's punk.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like yeah. He's out there 80 doing it himself, DIY. I'm getting in the damn snow. Just hardcore handling it. And I'm like, to me, that was my version of what punk rock was. Like, you know, do whatever it takes, no matter what, do what you got to do and be who you got to be, you know? And it wasn't like a dress code and stuff like that. Like you had to
no.
wear a certain thing and then therefore listen to this band and you know, so I'm with you on the same page, the history, because I know I'm going to learn a lot of stuff going there too, you know.
And I'll probably learn from you, you know, like, but I will, like, I don't think we're too off in age, but like, I think everything, every single person I've given a tour to, like, I've learned something from. It's really cool.
It is cool. And you know what else is cool? I'll tell you this. The first person that got married there was my buddy.
Really?
Yeah, Matt Lindemuth.
Cool.
Yeah, listen, check this story out. He's an old inline skater, pro inline skater. Back in the 90s, where BMX skate and inline were all together. We were doing a lot of shows together. You know, it's just, that's the way it was packaged, you know, all these demos. I remember when he was like 14 or 15 years old, and he did shows with his, and his dad brought him to the shows, and his dad was with us during all the shows we did. And it's just, he hit me up. He's like, are you going to be in Vegas? I don't talk to him a whole lot, but he hit me up. He's like, gonna be in Vegas. We're gonna try to be the first to get married there. And sure enough, they were. So
that's cool. I saw that couple and I was like, they seemed cool, but I didn't meet them. I just saw their photos and stuff. And I was just like, oh, I wonder who they are, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty cool because it's even bringing, like, I mean, are more people getting married there? Or has that just been the one person?
Oh, no. We've got tons of emails coming in. So just scheduling and all that. But
they were the icebreaker for everybody.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think we've had two so far.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And so you also have a tattoo shop in there, right?
Yeah, it's going to be open May 15th. That's my birthday, actually. Yeah, May 15th. So it's going to open May 15th. Tattoo shop. And we have a bar called the Triple Down, which is the name is a cross between the Double Down here in Vegas and the Triple Rock.
Okay. Yeah. And you got, is there a Fat Mike drink or something?
There's a Double Fatty. There's the Fletcher. And this name I want to change, but there's the Nubs 151.
Oh, what is that?
Well, the funny thing is I don't drink. So it's kind of like, cause the Double Fatty and the Fletcher reflect them and their beverage. I don't drink alcohol. It partially reflects me and what I drink because I don't drink alcohol, but I'm a tea and Arnold Palmer girl.
Right.
I drink Arnold Palmer. That's my drink, Arnold Palmer. And Liquid Death just came out with an Arnold Palmer called Armless Palmer.
Oh, wow.
So obviously my drink has to have Arnold Palmer in it, but the person running our bar is like, no one's going to want to drink a mocktail. I'm like, well, people who don't drink will, but okay, I guess alcohol sells. So right now the Armless 151 has Armless Palmer. Sorry, the Nubs 151 is Armless Palmer, vodka, and Everclear.
Oh.
Like, what? And this girl's like,
you're like, what?
She's like, I got your drink. And then I was like, is it good? She's like, no. I'm like,
well, they gave you, they wanted you to have the most hardcore shit and you don't drink.
That's what I said. I was like, me not drinking is
Everclear.
Really, like, me not drinking is a really big part of who I am. It's been like years and years, 20, 25 years I haven't drank. And like, you got the most hard, I have the hard, most hardcore drink, but it's kind of like also hilarious.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. That is pretty funny. So. I bet you Mike came up with that, didn't he?
I think it was Moss. Moss runs he owns Double Down. He runs our bar too.
Okay. So I
think he came up with it. I tried to talk to him about it, and he was like, nobody's going to drink a mocktail. It's like, people drink mocktails, Moss, but, you know.
That's funny.
So I kind of just wanted the name. I don't care what's in it because I'm not going to drink it. I wanted the name to reflect, like, to kind of be a funny name on the, like, reflecting the fact that I don't drink. So maybe, like, I don't know, a tipsy Nubs, because, like, I don't drink. So it's like, Nubs 151, everyone thinks that's my drink. Arnold Palmer. Arnold Palmer is my drink, and everyone who knows me, they know that's my, because I drink, I have like, I literally always have black tea and lemonade in my fridge. I make it all the time. And the fact that Liquid Death made a drink, like, you don't even know. I've been trying to get a Liquid Death sponsorship for years, and like, not trying, I've just wanted one. And Mike's like, just make a video of you opening up a can and you'll get it. But I've been so busy. I haven't made a video to send to Liquid Death. And then they created an Arnold Palmer, and I was like, what, that's my drink. And everyone's like, holy shit. So I'm drinking my first Liquid Death, Arnold Palmer, and I'm eating this like veggie burger and fries at this place after a show, and I'm talking to people, and then my eyes catch the can, and I don't realize that it says Armless Palmer, and I'm like, I'm dead. Like, I don't understand how I don't have sponsorship yet. Like, it's like,
yeah, I mean, that's a given. Death,
if you're listening, please send me. Do you know what I mean? It's so stupid. It has
you
to
kind
happen.
Of feel like, hey, did you? I think you got this idea for me, dude. Okay, what's going on?
I feel like they should be sending me royalties. I am the most Arnold Palmer drinking armless girl in the world. That is a fact.
That is a fact. That is. I'm not gonna argue. I would agree. Hey, check it out. You guys gonna have a ramp inside the museum?
Like not a skate, inside. Like a we're thinking of. We want to build a ramp outside.
Yeah.
Cool if Tony Hawk was a part of it. I kind of mentioned it to him. He'd be like, he was like, I'm down. I'm like, oh my God. So we're thinking about having a ramp and like having shows in the ramp because everyone expects us to have shows in the museum, but like it's a museum. We don't really have room for shows.
Right.
You know? And we have like very, very, I don't want to say expensive, but like priceless artifacts in there. Like we can't have people moshing.
No, or stealing.
Right. So,
you know?
It is a museum first and foremost, but we're thinking about something outdoor and we're trying to get possibly the building next door so we can expand.
Yeah.
But right now it's like some air conditioner company. So we'll see what happens. But
yeah, that'd be cool because then you could play gigs and then
you could come and do yours.
Give my little tricks.
Did you like this?
Yeah.
guess what Tony Hawk said? Tony Hawk invited me to his ramp. He wants to take me down the ramp.
Do it. If you go, let me know. I was just down there 2 days ago.
I'm going to go. I just like,
yeah.
He was like, hit me up. And now I'm like, how do I hit up Tony Hawk and be like, can I come to your ramp today? You know, but
he is really cool like that. Honestly,
he's one of the nicest guys I've ever met.
He absolutely is. You know, I say this to a lot of people. He's like at his level of you know, success and fame and stuff. Yeah. He's the same dude. Like I met in 1992.
I can
which
tell
is
that.
Funny. I got a cool story I'll say right now. Our first shows we did were in Detroit at a state fair, and Joan Jett was playing on this little stage.
Cool.
And a tornado came through, and everybody had to bell. It's time to go. It's like state fair, like it's bungee jumping next to us. And it was me, Tony Hawk, Matt Hoffman, and we had to come down off the ramp. And as we're coming down off the ramp, the wind's getting crazy. Joan Jett was still on stage, and then the roof blew off this little stage.
Oh
and
my
then
gosh.
She took off with her guitar, and that was my first time that the first shows I did with Tony. It's kind of funny because you say Joan Jett, that strikes me as like, oh wait, I remember. I met her on Warped Tour too, actually. She's cool.
I met her on Warped Tour too. You, Tony Hawk, and Joan Jett, though. My God, I wish I was there. That's a fun day.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, and that was the early days of like when action sports, or if that's what you want to call it, BMX skate, whatever, tried to, you know, it was getting more mainstream. But that's why I was asking you because. About the ramp, because a lot of that's so connected with punk rock and in the early days, because we were hated on, like I was double hated on because you're a punker and you rode bikes. Back day, you were a punker, you were a skater. Like some people were just punkers, but if you got hated on, so that's for riding and stuff and skating. So that's why it fits so much with the museum, I think.
I was talking to
maybe. One day you could have a museum of skate and stuff too in there.
For sure. Yeah. I was talking to Tony about that because like for me, I got into skateboarding and punk rock around the same time.
Yeah.
You know, and I always said Warped Tour was my Christmas. It was my best day because it was all of my favorite things. It was punk rock. It was skateboarding and like pro skaters that I was drooling over. It was very good looking and cool. Like, girls and boys, you know, it
yeah.
was sunshine. It was like snacks, like all my favorite things in one day. It was literally the best. And I always loved that. Like there was a ramp at Warped Tour and there was pro skaters and pro BMXers and like doing their thing because they do go hand in hand.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people that skate were actually in bands too, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of skate punk bands.
For sure.
Cause you never hear like bike punk bands. You know, because there wasn't any. Like it was like skateboarding and punk rock were a lot more connected. But bike riders have always been less numbers anyways. We were like the punkers, you know, that rode. So you know what I mean? So it's connected. And who knows, one day maybe, you know, could turn into I mean, what you got going on, you could just keep expanding and growing. It just seems like,
oh yeah, that's what we're planning to do.
Constantly changing, and like people, you know, constantly, you know, I mean, there's so much. I mean, you just got such a good head start already on everything. It's pretty sick. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, it's 12,000 square feet. Like, it's huge. Two floors.
Yeah, and how, and like, well, you're obviously you're open all day, right? Or not all day, but what, like
12 to 10.
There you go.
And yeah. Our bar is open till 11, but during punk rock bowling, it's open till 2 a.m.
Got it. Yeah, I have a feeling it's going to get pretty busy then. Let's talk about you, though, some stuff that you do as well. Like, you do music. You do music, right?
Yeah, I'm a singer.
Yeah, what's the name of your band? Let them know.
Nubs and Her Studs.
Yeah. Are you still playing?
Yeah, well, we were just recording, actually, in Fat Mike's studio 2 weeks ago. So we're going to have a record coming out soon, which is exciting. And like it, the songs, I haven't heard any final versions yet, but they turned out so cool. Better than I imagined in my own head, because like Mike and Baz, who produced, like got me to sing different than I'm used to. Like I have all these different voices inside of me that I didn't really know. And they're all my voice, but like, I also was really sick, so I kind of leaned into the rasp and made it a little bit dirtier, and it's
awesome.
Cool. Yeah, I am so excited. I can't wait to unleash these songs to the world. Like, I'm just like sitting here patiently, like twiddling my toes, and I'm like, just be patient. And like, there's a couple songs that Mike wants to work with me on. But besides that, we're done recording. So I'm just like, patience. But
I know, right? Then you got to, yeah, absolutely. How long have you been playing music?
I've been a singer my whole life. Like I was in choirs as a little girl and then a teenager. And so I've been singing my whole life, but I've been in band, like probably I had a little band in high school. And then I had another band in my 20s called the Tally Band.
I like that one.
That one opened for NoFX a bunch of times. That one, I love that name. My guitar player, he didn't like it, but I loved it. Everyone loved that name. It's just like
so I think it's great. It's like you're like genius with the names you come up with.
Thank you. So yeah. So then I put this band together during the pandemic. And the cool, unique thing about this band is that I put this band together during the pandemic, and we were a band. Oh my God, I can't speak English. We were a band for 2 years, and we had six songs recorded, like demos, and we'd never met yet. I met them on Instagram, and they're twins. So I met Rob, and then I met his brother through him. And we just like, everyone stuck in their house, even people who were in bands together, no one's together. So it didn't really feel weird.
Right.
Started just like it really got me through pandemic, focusing, picturing myself on stage, you know, like, and focusing, putting all my angst and anxiety and like stress into the lyrics and the songs. Like it was so like therapeutic. And like it helped me so much. It helped me stay positive. And yeah, they would record the drums and the instruments in Nashville. Like I forgot to mention, I was in Toronto. They were in Nashville. They would record all their instruments in Nashville, then send me the GarageBand file. And then I would I would record my vocals right here at this desk. I have a little microphone here and like my little Focusrite, recording software. And I would just like record it and then send it back. And we had all these little demos, you know, and it was just one of those, like, we were going to meet up in Toronto, then we were going to meet up in Nashville, but like the borders were closed. And in Toronto, the COVID was gnarly. Like we were in lockdown for so long, like way longer than you guys. And it just didn't happen. And then I got asked to move to Vegas to work for the museum. And when I came to Vegas to look at apartments, they met me here and we met for the first time. And it was like, you know, it's kind of like a blind date or like internet dating. You know, you have this fantasy where you're talking to them and you're talking to this person or these people, and you hope it's that good in real life.
Yeah.
You don't know. You never know. And usually it's not.
No, it's not.
So especially with dating, but like, or like somebody you want to fuck, you know, but this was magic. It was magic when we first met, like chemistry just between the three of us. And then we went and jammed and it was like amazing.
So how long were you together before you actually jammed?
Like 2.5 years.
So that was like, dude, that's a cool story.
Yeah. And then we met for the second time and we went in studio.
Don't waste no time. Let's go. Let's go.
So I think that's pretty unique, especially for it. It's makes sense for our times, but it's like, that's not a normal thing.
No,
to have a band with people you've never met, but it's pretty special. You know, I think it's really cool.
And you know what? That's the thing about music too, is everybody's story is different. You know, everything in life, everybody's got their story of how they make things happen. So,
yeah. So I think once we get this album out, then I think we're going to start playing shows. We're just kind of trying to do one thing at a time. And I am so slammed with the museum. Like, I also am like starting a full-time career, you know, which is like super, super busy because it's a labor of love. Like, we're all working all the time. I haven't had a day off in like 2 months. So it's like, but like I always say, I work in punk rock. I'm always working and I'm never working.
Yeah.
You know, talking to you about being a tour guide, I was technically working, but like, I actually like talking to you. So it's not weird. You know what I mean? It's not,
absolutely.
It's not like, oh, I'm going to talk to Rick Thorne again. Some people it's like herding kittens. I'm not going to lie.
Get your Zoom straight, bro.
Come on, Rick. My time is money.
Hey, do you think the punk scene, this is like just a question. It's just like, cause you said something earlier about how it, during the pandemic, the music kept you positive. It kept you, you know, keeps you going. And that struck at me because that's like, it's all about for me, right? Do you think the punk scene nowadays, it's obviously different, but do you think back in the day, the punk scene was more kind of like, I don't know, like a
not
more
positive?
Of a, no, not that, but it was like, it was a community, but it was like a community, like it was, like, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Like, punk's still a community, don't get me wrong, but not like it used to be. Do you think? Like
it
back
was
in the day.
Yeah.
It was like you knew punks and then, You could spot a punk and you connected right away. Like, we are, you know what I mean?
Yes,
like,
because it wasn't as common. Like, Fat Mike's, I forget who it is, but he's like, it was a woman. I forget who it was. But he's like, that's the first punk I ever saw. I was like, wow, you know, and she had blue hair in his high school. And like, hearing stories of that generation of punk rock, it's way gnarlier and crazier than my generation of punk rock. And I a little bit like, I don't know, not envious, but like, it just seemed so much crazier and definitely gnarlier. But
well, what generation of punk you from? I mean, it sounds weird to ask, but like, what years you talking?
Like, you know, I was born in 80.
Got it.
So, you know, the skate punk was my introduction, you know, No Effects, Lagwagon, you know, Strung Out, Face to Face, those bands, the fat bands. Of course, I always loved, you know, I had my first punk tapes, you know, that are like the Offspring, Green Day. And then I had like Joan Jett and the Ramones and things like that. But when I really got into it, it was those bands. And like, but my punk shows when I was a teenager, there weren't riots.
Yeah. You
know? It's just a different vibe, but it's always community. I think it always will be community. You know, you see a punk on the street and you know, you give them the head nod. And I think back then people got into punk because they didn't fit in and maybe they had a harder upbringing or maybe a rough home life and they needed a place to go or people to connect with. That's punk for me and that's punk for everyone, I think. But back then, I think it was just gnarlier. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, it depended on the scene, I guess, you know.
And yeah, I mean the stories I hear of the people. Like, when I hear Fat Mike and Luigi talking, I'm like this.
Oh, yeah, you yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, they experienced some. Yeah, it just depended on where you were at. I mean, from Kansas, I was in Kansas City, so it was, you know, it could get rowdy for sure. But yeah,
The LA scene, I should have said. Like, that LA scene, it just seemed crazy.
Yeah, yeah, it did. But, you know, like I said earlier, you know, you had the bands, I don't know, we're just talking here, but like the bands, you could have a positive band or you could be like more of a dark punk band, but you were still considered punk. You weren't classified. I don't know. It just seems like there was more, I don't want to use the word characters. There was more characters back in the day.
There were definitely a lot of characters.
You know what I mean? Like just different styles, you know? Mm-hmm. So you're stoked about your band. Do you see yourself touring a lot? Is that what you want to do? Or are you going to be able to do that?
When I started this band, I saw myself touring, and that's kind of what I pictured, is us in a tour van and show. Cause I, with all my bands, I've never really toured. Like I've done surrounding cities and in Canada and stuff, but not like tour. Want that, but now I have this full-time gig. So it's hard to really picture how that works because I haven't had like an hour to myself in a few months now. We just opened, and that's why. And I'm, you know, the face of the museum. I'm the punk rock ambassador. So I'm going to events and I'm talking about the museum and getting people to the museum. Like I'm going into the community, getting people and being like, here's 25% off. You know, like I was at Viva Las Vegas all weekend, the Rockabilly Festival, and they're a punk, you know, there's a crossover. There were punks there and they're stoked on the museum. And even the Rockabilly people are stoked on the museum. So I was at, you know, I went to Iggy Pop and I stood in the foyer hours before the show. And it's like, hey, have you heard about the Punk Rock Museum? And handing out stickers and buttons and telling them about it. And they're like, fuck, I'm going to come tomorrow because everyone's in town. Some people came in town for Viva. Some people came in town for Iggy Pop, obviously. And we're trying to get people, you know, who aren't at the museum to the museum because we want everyone to see it and we want everyone to experience it. So I'm just spreading the good word of the Punk Rock Museum and it's a pretty cool job. But it's crazy because Vegas is so busy. Like it's like so many events after event. And we want everyone there. So
yeah, well, you're inspiring.
Thank you.
No, you are very much so. You got good energy, positive. You're perfect to be the ambassador for the Punk Rock Museum. It's like,
thank perfect, you. Perfect I do feel fit. Like it's a perfect fit. It feels like it's a perfect fit. So
yeah, it is. It absolutely is. And like, I mean, you gotta be stoked to say like some of your first shows were seeing NOFX and now you're working with Mike. It's kind of cool.
I literally like when he first wrote his song about me and we were in touch via email after the fact, cause I didn't know the song was coming out.
That's right. He wrote a song about you.
Yeah.
Wait, what's the name of the song again?
She's Nubs.
That's it. Yeah.
When I was 20, and you know, it was like instant fame and instant nickname and instant positivity because the song is about the fact that I have no arms and I rock out a side stage at punk shows. You know, it's like it's and people are like instantly loving me for exactly who I am, which is pretty cool. Like it skyrocketed. You can tell I have confidence, but that definitely skyrocketed my confidence. Cause before that it was like a journey, you know?
Yeah.
But I heard the song and I was like, holy fucking shit, you know, is this song about me? And so I reached out to Fat Records, just like clicked on contact us, you know, and asked them the question, like, awesome. Is this song about me? Like, I don't even know, but I love it. Cause the lyrics are, I hope she don't get mad. I hope she thinks the song is good, not bad, because they didn't know if I'd like it. And so I said, like, I love the song. Like, if it's about me, tell Fat Mike I love the song, you know. And I only met him for 5 minutes backstage at an NOFX show in Toronto. And then, like, the next day I got an email back from Mike saying, yep, after 12 albums, it's hard to think of things to write about, but you're the perfect character for a song. So, and from there, I was like, oh my God, I got to ask him for a job, you know? And I was like, I want to work for Fat Records. And he kind of gave me this, you know, it's not about what you do for a living. It's how you live your life. Some of us just get lucky. See you on stage. And I was like, oh, you know, and like, that was when I was like 21 years old. And literally 20 years later, I just aged myself. I'm working for Fat Mike and I am the face of the museum. I'm the punk, like, somebody yesterday kept.
And it's perfect. It's perfect.
Somebody kept introducing me. She's an ambassador for the Punk Rock Museum. I'm like, no, I'm the Punk Rock Ambassador. There's only one of us, you know. Yeah. And I was scooped up. Like they were like, we want you for this role. You know, there was no job description. I didn't have to apply. It was just, we want you for this. And I've never felt more seen in my life because it is the most perfect job. But being someone as unique as me with no arms and 3 foot tall and all that fucking bullshit, people have judged me my whole life in a not good way. And especially in the job, like the workforce or bullshit like that. Like, I'll apply for a job that my resume gets me an interview because my resume is like packed full of experience. And then end of interview, while I've like kicked ass the whole interview, they're like, but can you type? And it's like, are you fucked? Did you see my resume? So like, literally people don't believe that I can do the things that I do because they can't get outside the box that they had in their mind, you know?
Got it. Yeah.
And I've been fighting my whole life to be able to like live and like work so I can fucking buy food and pay my rent, because I have to be better than the other applicants. I can't be just as good. I have to be a million times better, which is hard, you know? It's hard to be better.
Yeah.
And it is challenging not having arms, living in a fucking world that was not built for me. So when I was asked to be the ambassador for Punk Rock Museum, like the punk rock ambassador, I was just like, since I've been here, I really thought about it. And I was like, holy fucking shit. Like, they hired me because of who I am.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't have to tone down, you know, sometimes you got to tone down who you are because we're fucking out. We're not inside that box. Well, we don't have to, but they make you feel like you should. I am literally myself. Like, I don't have to, I can wear all the clothes in my closet. I can have this hair. I can wear these fucking weird ass earrings. And, you know, and literally I tell, you know, at the museum, I'm like, hey, I'm Nubs, you know, and people are like, what's your real name? I'm like, I actually like Nubs. You know, people think maybe it's like a derogatory term or something because of my fucking arms, but I'm like, it's my punk rock nickname. Punk rock nicknames are always gnarly. Fat Mike, come on.
Yep.
So it's like,
oh, we nicknamed everybody something gnarly back
then. Yeah, and I said that. Mike's like, no one gets to pick, because I said, well, I got this nickname, I didn't get to choose. Mike's like, no one gets to pick their nickname. You think Smelly picked his nickname? No, it's because he's farting and stinking all the time.
Well, listen, you are the definition of punk.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Because of everything you just said, everything you've been battling and challenged your whole life. And now, like, you're being accepted for who you are at a high level at this museum that's, like, groundbreaking, never before. And
so
you're the
fucking cool
fucking ambassador. And it's like, that's just such a rad story. Because you do, in my opinion, and now that I've got to know you better, you are, like, what punk is. Given what's, you take what it's given to you and you make the best of it, and you
exactly
you run it and you're confident with it and you are who you are, you know?
Like,
and
I literally, like,
that's,
I just,
what punk rock is, man.
Yeah. And I just exactly, like, I was given this, you know, this body, and I'm like, let's fucking do it, you know? And like I said, it was a journey. I wasn't always this way. My mom said I was born with confidence, but I remember it being hard. I remember wanting to fit in so fucking bad. And I wore these prosthetic legs that made me 5 foot tall. And I wore these, my electric arms that I couldn't even use. And they were just like so heavy and hot, because I wanted to look like everyone else, you know? And like, I mean, it was a journey. Like, literally, I wore those until I was 19 years old. And then I moved away to university and realized I don't need to wear those, you know, to be happy. Like, I could just be myself. And I went out and bought clothes that accented like this body, you know, not like that 5 foot tall, weird stilt body.
Right.
And then I started getting confidence, and then people were attracting to me. And, you know, like, you're super positive too. And when you're positive, like we are, you attract like-minded people, you know? And of course we attract shitty people too, because we stand out. But like, I have so many amazing people in my life. I've only been here 6 months, and I can't believe the incredible friends I have that are like good to the core, you know? Cause I only surround myself with like really, really good fucking people. That's why I was excited when you and I like connected on Instagram and then met in LA. I was like, cause we're, you know, we're different, but we're the same.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah. You got good, positive energy. Yeah. It's good. It's really good. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, well, you're perfect. And it's such a rad, I love the story though. I just love it. You know, that's what punkers do. They come together, you know?
Yeah. It's rad. And the punk scene in Vegas is so cool. Like, it feels like a small town. It is. I have never felt like I have more community in my life. here. And of course, the museum brings that together. It's a hub. It's a hub for this punk community. And everyone here is like, it feels like a small town, and they can't believe that this 12,000 square foot museum is in their town down the street, you know?
All right.
And when I go to shows, like, of course, people know me everywhere I go. But when I go to shows here, it's like small town vibes. Everyone's stoked to see me. And I recognize people every time I go, even if I don't know them, because they're small. Like, I'm talking the local shows. And everyone's stoked in the museum. And like I said, it's just like a little hub. And we have like a discount for locals. And we have a local Vegas section in the museum. And it was really important for us to showcase the local Vegas scene, because it's punk as fuck here. Like,
awesome.
Yeah, it's not the Vegas people think they know. And I thought I knew Vegas because I was coming for Punk Rock Bowling every year. But the Vegas that I thought I knew, which was like, oh God, get me out of here. You know, the casinos and the like party. That's Punk Rock Bowling, which is super fun. But I live downtown Vegas and it feels kind of like a normal downtown, but like more community and more like small town vibes.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm so stoked for you.
I can't wait for you to come. I can't wait for you to show you around. And
man, yeah, I'm ready. I'm super ready, and I'm stoked on the opportunity. Thank you.
It's gonna be awesome. Of course.
And it's been awesome talking to you. You're an inspiration. I want everybody to follow you and what you're doing. What's your Instagram?
My Instagram, Nubs416. So it's Nubs416, and my band is Nubs and Herstedts.
Awesome. And then the Punk Rock Museum, obviously. Yep,
the Punk Rock Museum. All three of those are on, Nubs and Herstedts and the Punk Rock Museum and my cat, the Sweetest Miso, are all on the top of my Instagram. So if you go to my Instagram, you can find all of them. You don't have to follow my cat, but he's really fucking cute.
I got to follow you. I don't think I'm following your cat. I'm going to follow your cat.
I don't think so. He's pretty amazing. The Sweetest Miso.
You're awesome. I really appreciate you taking time.
You're awesome. You know, I'm stoked. Like when you wrote me, I was like, of course I'll be on your podcast. That's like, I'm honored.
Dude, I'm telling you, that's what the punk rock. Thank you. That's what the punk rock community is about, man. Just like-minded people coming together. That's how we met.
So. Exactly. And just like, we're all literally trying to get by on this planet the best we can. And I think me and you are, in addition to that, trying to put positivity in the world and trying to make the world a better place, even if it's like just a tiny bit. You know, yep. And so that's why when you asked me, I was like, oh my God, like these two positive forces coming together, like we can make more of a difference. It's exciting. So
superpowers, dude. And this, you know, and I've learned a lot about you, you know, and I admire you for, I understand, you know, just situations that were dealt with and you just, the cards you dealt with, you just handle it and you've handled it quite nicely.
Handle it. And you like, I love my life. I want to make it rad. I want to do all the things, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and it, like I said, like this world, I told you I'm sitting on the floor right now because my friend built me this custom desk. This world in here is my world. I do everything. I cook, I clean, I do all the things. But then once I get out into that world, it's like, oh, you know, it's like, oh, that fucking toilet is up to my chest and I really got to pee. So it is a challenge out there, but I just find like, there's nothing wrong with me. It's the world that is not inclusive.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
So. I never even thought of that. Like the challenges you have just on a daily basis, like even going to the bathroom, right?
It's just like, they're silly, but it's like.
It's not silly. It's reality, though.
It's not silly. Yeah, it's reality. Yeah. So, or like, you know, just getting around the city, or like I was going to Viva all weekend and it was just like going to the strip. It's really far from where I live. So yeah, it's just like new city, like new country. And it's just a bit more challenging for me, but like, I don't look at it that way. I'm not just like, poor me. Ugh, I hate that. I'm not a victim. I just look at the world as a challenge and I love a challenge. So bring it on.
You're killing it. I can't wait to see you and everybody out there. Make sure to follow you. Follow Nubs. Go to the museum. Nubs 416. Follow her cat. Go to the museum. much love to you. I'm so stoked. Thanks a lot for the interview.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. Have a great day. Stay rad.
You too.
Bye.